母ちゃんがね、天空寺住所で終わって、何月しへんよ、デイジェ終わってるんだ。二日遅れべ。二日遅れてばんどは。終わってんのロールチンシャンのやん、やめろ。太陽天空寺住所で、人事、すじてばなぜ触るレバトネベバトマイ、クバチェンベテンバシンジェロー、サボテゲ、シンジェンテンスウテンゴーバ、シンジェンテンスウマルベ。新年天数天候あるです。他新年天数だかしゅうがれた。ねえ、で、じゅじゅまが、じゅんだと、わて、ちぶちゅんぐらん、じんぐらん、ちぶしんびらん。らんじゅんぐ、じゅじゃじゅばま、らんりちむたん、らんりんじんたん、じゅじゅんたん、わて、じゅじゅまとそこ、じゅんだ、じばいんじゅわた。じばりで、そこで、らんじゅたわ、新年天数せやとわて、新年天数天候あるです。他ちぶそんぐらん、じばて、じゃれんじばて、しゅうぐれ、てしばら、てとやきん、げげんじてんぐれす。おとんぐれであとぼてんぐれ。
So we begin with the first stanza of The Source of All My Good. The first stanza says, The source of all my good is my kind Lama, my Lord. Bless me first to see that taking myself to him in the proper way is the very root of the path, and grant me then to serve and follow him with all my strength and reverence. So here we have the expression of worship, and this particular stanza is referring to reliance on a spiritual teacher or guru devotion. So the meaning of the source of all my good has the same meaning as the lamp for the path to enlightenment, as it explains the same subject matter as even the larger Lamrims do. So Lama Tsongkhapa has various bodies of work as a note, and they go in this order. So the Great Treatise on the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment is the largest volume. Then we have the Medium Stage of the Path to Enlightenment, and then the Abbreviated Stages of the Path to Enlightenment, and then also the text like this, The Source of All My Good. All of these explain the subject matter that the lamp for the path to enlightenment explains. So here in this text we find the explanation of the pathways for beings of small, medium, and great capacity. And in order to learn and practice these three pathways pathways for beings of three capacity, it's necessary to have a teacher. So that's where we begin in the text, reliance upon a teacher, because of the necessity of having a teacher in order to learn that subject matter. So it's very similar to Buddhism in that if you wish to learn the Christian tradition or the Hindu tradition, it's necessary in all of these religions to have a teacher. So next we get into the basis for the practice of the stage of the path for beings of three capacities. Here it says, Bless me first to realize that the excellent life of leisure I found just this once is ever so hard to find and ever so valuable. Grant me then to wish and never stop to wish that I could take its essence night and day. So if one has a basis that has the 8 leisures and 10 opportunities, then this is a basis from which to practice the stage of the path shared in common with beings of three capacities.
Nyeba dendu tanga du shene ngadul chege de sache bi du no res dendu tanga du shene dendul chege de shase se bi du no re du ares
vaso
te juzen garazana aya de var jije kazo pemeci manane taba ma enshu yonzi tena suzu ju na pejin ne bangadul ros ote aya de tanga da ru marbe.
So if we have this the basis of the eight leisures and 10 opportunities, there are facts about this. So it says, I found it just this once. So it's showing, I found just this once so here it's stating that I have this excellent life with the eight leisures and 10 opportunities now at this time, and it's very hard to find. And ever so valuable. So in the Lamrim Chemo, we find two categories under this topic that ever so hard to find, difficult to achieve. And it's the categories are, it's difficult to achieve or hard to find because of examples, and then a second category of reasons that it's difficult to achieve. So the first category, the example that's given comes from the Sutra teachings, and it states that the number of beings that go from the higher realms and the lower realms to the lower realms are the number of atoms in the world, whereas the number of beings that go from the higher or lower realms to the higher realms are similar to the atoms that are found on a fingernail. So this is the example that's given to show the difficulty of obtaining this human basis. And then the reason why it's difficult to obtain, we find presented in Aryadeva's 400 verses, where it states that humans, for the most part, are involved in the ignoble. Therefore, most ordinary beings fall to the miserable realms, or to the lower realms. Deekson. So now we get into the next two stanzas that are referring to the stage of the path for beings of small capacity or in common with small capacity. My body and the life in it are fleetings as the bubbles in the sea froth of a wave. Bless me first thus to recall the death that will destroy me soon, and help me find sure knowledge that after I have died, the things I've done, the white or black, and what those deeds will bring to me, follow always close behind, as certain as my shadow. Grant me then ever to be careful to stop the slightest wrongs of the many wrongs we do, and try to carry out instead each and every good of the many that we may. So again, these are the pathways for beings of small capacity. So my body and the life in it are fleeting as the bubbles in the sea froth of a wave. Bless me first thus to recall the death that will destroy me soon. So here we get into the topic of death and impermanence. So if we have this basis with the eight leisures and 10 opportunities, we need to know that it is impermanent. There isn't any certainty there because of this impermanence. If a future life didn't exist, then it wouldn't matter. But the fact is that a future life does exist, and that based on the 10 virtuous activities, the ethics which abandon the 10 non-virtuous activities, we're able to achieve happiness. We're able to achieve rebirth in the higher realms of cyclic existence of gods and humans. But if we engage in the 10 non-virtuous activities, then this will lead to suffering and will lead to the existence in the lower realms of hell, hungry ghost, and animal. Requesting the
merrifield?
So then it says, help me sure, find sure knowledge that after I have died, the things I've done, the white or black, and what those deeds will bring to me follow always close behind, as certain as my shadow. Here, the white is referring to virtuous deeds. Black is referring to non-virtuous deeds. The virtuous deeds bringing happiness in the higher realms of cyclic existence, and the non-virtuous deeds bringing suffering in the lower realms of cyclic existence. So as a result of accumulating white or virtuous deeds, one experiences happiness, one experiences the higher realms. As a result of accumulating black non-virtuous deeds, then one experiences suffering in the lower realms of cyclic existence. So the white deeds are virtue, black deeds are non-virtue. So these individual actions that we do that have the results I just said, always close behind, as certain as my shadow. And then grant me to be ever careful to stop the slightest wrongs of the many wrongs we do and try to carry out instead each and every good that we may. Here it's saying that we should be careful to apply this word stop could be also antidote. So have a definite opponent or antidote to the slightest wrongs that we do, and then try very hard instead to engage in the virtuous activities and every good of the many that we may. Here then there is a request implied that is almost an aspiration that says, may I be able to do this? May I be blessed by the merit field, by the lamas, by the yidams, by the yogis, yoginis, etc., bodhisattvas, to be able to do so. And within that, we find refuge, a refuge. So it's almost a request to the merit field to be able to carry out each and every good that we may and abandon the slightest wrong of the many that we do.
That's it.
So when we look at the slap the slightest wrongs of the many wrongs we do, we get to the topic of the four opponent powers. By applying the four opponent powers, we're engaging in an acknowledgement of downfalls or confession of downfalls, and it will make it so the non-virtue loses its ability to produce suffering, loses its ability to produce the lower realms of cyclic existence. So it eradicates it. So the four opponent powers have the ability to eradicate the non-virtue's ability to give rise to suffering in the lower realms. So we can see how acknowledgement of downfalls is very important.
So 추진 야부소마토와 지 추가대 야부소마토와 따와대 야부소마 이나 니와 지금 말해 룰을 진다레스 네 워터 룸모모요아도 워테지어레스 룸모모요아도 워터 소마 말해 사지게 더소로 왔다
그래서 we find that there are different forms of behavior, and we can divide them into the various forms of behavior that one can engage in and find what the results would be. So in the great treatise in the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment, we find this point made where it speaks of Suchim dan chilka dan
soa
dan dawa
dawa
soa soa
Suchim dan soa riba
Suchim dan chilka dan soa the Suchim dan chilka dan soa soa dan dawa jile shima man yamshi
ode ode shima do ode ta chudin chudin dan chuga do so yabo man soa so riba
less
up 대신 야바 이나야 따와도 마냐나 니월 지금 말해 슬롤 지는 그래서 로드스 시베는 마다할 지네 계속 사직 돈래 돈게 대말 주네 티젠의 슈바 마도 사마 다중과 도그레스
그래서
어디 술 나서 산다함도
티젠의 그게 추 춤고 when we look at the great treatise, we find there are four categories of behaviors: ethical discipline, rituals, livelihood, and philosophical view. If it states one has not lapsed in the latter of those, which is the philosophical view, then one is able to, and what this is referring to is faith in karma and its results and going for refuge. So if one hasn't lapsed in his or her philosophical view, then it states that this being secure allows for a rebirth into the Nagas realm instead of the lower realms of cyclic existence of the hell, hungry ghost, and animal. But when we look at ethical discipline, that's referring to those common behaviors that would relate to both householders and those who are ordained. So, for instance, abandoning killing is something that both a householder and someone who is ordained is to do in the Buddhist tradition. So we have these common or universal behaviors that relate to everyone. When we're speaking of rituals, this is referring to the specific rituals of the ordained behaviors. So those are the vows that the ordained follow, but might not necessarily be something that the unordained follow. So for instance, in the vows, we find the vow of not cutting down a tree. This is something that the one who is ordained is to follow, but it's not common to a householder. So these are what is meant by these two ethics and rituals. And even if one has fallen from their ethics or rituals or livelihood, but still held on to his or her philosophical view, then this will allow him or her to not go to the lower realms and be born. It states in here, in the questions of the Naga kings of the ocean, we find this story here where the example is given. And it says that at a time in the world, Buddha was asked, why the sons and daughters of the Nagas in the great ocean fall to such few numbers? It's during the previous Buddha's time, Krakachikanda. So the question was asked, why had there during that time been so few Nagas and their sons and daughters? And then Now it says that there are limitless, immeasurable numbers. There are large numbers at this time. So what is the reason for this? And the Buddha stated that it's because they did not completely, even though they didn't perfect their ethical discipline and had deteriorated on ethical discipline and rituals and livelihood, they still had kept their philosophical view correct or straight. And as a result of that, they were reborn in places that Nagas are born. So this is the reason that Shakyamuni stated, and he said that even those beings who are born as Nagas, if they are not on the Mahayana track, would have those higher realm rebirths until they pass into nirvana, and then but that's not referring to those on the Mahayana track. So those beings not on the Mahayana track will be able to achieve nirvana during the teachings of this time, of this auspicious eon. So the Buddha had stated in Sutra that all non-virtues, misdeeds can be purified, even among the five heinous crimes maybe. So by applying the four opponent powers, we can purify the five heinous crimes or the five irreversible actions. So what need is there to talk about other misdeeds if we can purify these five? So when we look at the word opponent or antidote, there's six different categories of antidote that we can find. So the first category is reliance upon profound sutras. So this serves as an antidote. So we can recite any of the sutras are sufficient to fulfill this category. But some examples are the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, the 35 Buddhas of Confession. And Rinpoche, did Rinpoche mention one other text that I missed? 35 Buddhas and the Heart Sutra. I thought he... So all of the texts that we find... in the Kangjer and the Tanjer would be considered reliance upon profound sutras.
And
we can purify our misdeeds with this in this
way.
So we find in the monasteries where the Kangjer and Tanjer are passed out to the various monks, and then they're recited. The texts are recited in completion. So this is a very good practice.
Thousands of monks.
And but when there are thousands of monks, when everybody is handed out parts, then you can go through it rather quickly.
So
we see in our text, we have the Heart Sutra, and the Heart Sutra and others, and how important it is. So the next is reliance upon emptiness. So what this means is that our non-virtuous activities, or the 10 non-virtues that we engage in, come from the grasping at phenomena as being truly established. So we find that as being the root of cyclic existence. So in dependence upon the grasping at true establishment, we then have attachment, hatred, and ignorance. And in dependence upon these, we then act negatively with our body, speech, and mind. So it's the understanding that phenomena are not truly established that then harms the root of cyclic existence, which is the grasping at true establishment, and therefore harms those emotions of anger and hate, of attachment, anger, etc., and therefore harms the non-virtuous actions that come from that misapprehension, or that misapprehension, which is at the root. So this is how reliance upon emptiness then serves as an opponent. It serves to as an opponent to the root of cyclic existence. So the next is called reliance upon practice, or it's called practice. So what this category means is that when you're engaging in the practices of Chen Rezig or Buddha Shakyamuni, while you're doing the mantric recitation, such as for Shakyamuni, Teata Om Muni Muni Mahamuniye Soha, or Chen Rezig, Om Mani Padme Hum, if you're simultaneously doing the practice of the front and self-generation while you're doing the recitation, then this becomes dependent upon recitation. That's what it's called, dependence upon recitation. So that is when you're reciting the mantras, and those that mantric recitation is accompanied by the practice that goes with it. And again, you're doing the practice of Chen Rezig, so you're imagining the moon disc, the lotus and the moon disc, and the circumambulation of the mantra garland while you're expressing the mantra, then this is dependence upon recitation.
Zungala temba seta dote
So there are six in Shanti Deva's compendium of trainings that are presented there. So we have first dependence upon profound sutras, and then the second category, reliance on emptiness, and a third category of dependence on recitation, then a fourth category of dependence on worship. So it means if you're creating a statue or a tanka of Chenrezig, for instance, this is what's meant there. Dependence upon offering is offerings, and then dependence upon names. So these are the six. Senla Demba?
Nyaba Senji Vito, Nyaba Gundisha Vito, Nyaba Ladu Vito, Tenji Tor Zirova.
Lassa.
Tao de Nyaba Gundisha Vito, Jure no True.
Lassa.
Jure Dua. Nyaba Senji Vito, Nyaba Senji Vito, Ta. Jobat di jero joba marba ana divas asu dimas monya jobate na ba sunji bito ne ba kun jobito dil chuduwa tene ne ba ladu bito sheje divas sagam hayna ba tene tenji to sa tenji to jonu gumbat marba
tenji da. So the four opponent powers are first the power of regret. So this is regretting what you've done. So the power of regret. The second is the power of the antidote. So we found those six categories just presented under power of antidote. The third is the power of commitment. So this is making a commitment not to do it again. It's translated other ways too. In the Lamrim Shema, I think they use another word. But the power of commitment, which is saying abstaining from that action again. And then fourth is the power of the basis. And this power of the basis is referring to the refuge, the Denji Do, Jiang Zhou.
That then, true, you know, then, some of them, Diva is in Amama was Sanji the Sumber was. And then, Nemo Toshi Sang was Adan Jiva Hina, and then, some of them are to the Tatu Sumber was. Diva Dagan Sujum was Jiva Hina.
Okay. So there's a statement that even among the five heinous crimes, they can be purified. So if these four opponent powers have the power to be able to purify the five heinous crimes, then who do we find where there's an example of a purification taking place? And then we find the story of Angulimala. In Nagarjuna's letter to a friend, we find many examples given. But specifically, Angulimala is a person who met with a bad spiritual teacher. And was instructed to kill 1,000 people. And Angulimala killed 999 people and then got to the his mother, who he was going to kill, to make the 1,000th person. And Buddha arrived, though, at that time. And as a result of practicing the four opponent powers that were taught by Buddha to Angulimala, Angulimala did not have to experience the result of which would normally be the lower realms of killing all of these people. He actually achieved the state of foe destroyer, in that lifetime. And killing one's mother is one among the five heinous crimes Rinpoche pointed out. So Angulimala didn't have to experience that. Instead, because of the practice, purified those negativities and became a foe destroyer. So we'll take a short break. Low possum. When we recite the Confession of Downfalls, the 35 Buddhist parentheses, or recite mantras, it's very important. So by just reciting once the name mantra of Buddha Shakyamuni, Teyata Om Muni Muni Mahamuni Ye Soha, we're able to purify 10,000 eons of non-virtue. So any of the name mantras of the deities in the four classes of Tantra are the same and can purify our misdeeds. So the four opponent powers can purify our misdeeds. How does one know if a purification has taken place? So when we look at the periods of nighttime, we have the first period, the second period, and the third period while we're sleeping. So the periods of our sleeping state. So it's the third period before we wake up that we are to look at if we're free of illness. So if we don't have any illness, we can look at this period. And if we have dreams such as being washed or seeing the Sangha members or going into a temple or eating good food or just awakening with a kind of pleasant feeling, if this is the case, then we know that a purification has taken place. So if one has this pleasant feeling in their mind when they're waking after that third period of sleep, then that means that a purification has taken place. So the next stanzas. Bless me to perceive all that's wrong with the seemingly good things of this life. I can never get enough of them. They cannot be trusted. They are the door to every pain I have. Grant me then to strive instead for the happiness of freedom. Grant that these pure thoughts may lead me to be watchful to recall what I should be doing. And grant me to give the greatest care to make the vows of morality the essence of my practice. They are the root of Buddha's teaching. So these eight lines are referring to the stage of the path for beings of medium capacity, or in common with beings of medium capacity.
What the 사지에 오데 란주 가도 들어왔대 사지 송지는 도왔다 사지 송지는 용사진도
아 오케이
what is the job of
man right okay so
tanga jo samaji vidyut kare
lamsam lamsam ram kermasam
kunji tomang ne jo se se at ne tomang ne jo se se at ba
lamsam namsam
no tu no jo se dro tanga jo samaji Tadalani, Sindhi Nashi Dubada, Shimi Nashi Dubadi, Sindhi Nashi Dubada, Junior Katsala Lume, Yila Kumba Sindhi Nashi Dub, Lendemolo Kudana, Yansan Shimi Nashi Dub, Tinila Tene, Nangaju Samba Chimures, What the Gaju Samba Katu, what the Santa Abduata?
Now we've arrived at the section. Which is the mental training. So the mental training is renunciation. So that's what it's referring to. And when we look at the different categories related to renunciation, when we previously were looking at three principal paths, we find three categories. First, the cause. Those three categories are the reason for renunciation, the method for renunciation, and then the measure of renunciation. So we find all three of those categories presented here in the three principal paths as soon as I find them. So we find the Jutsen Top Tse.
Jutsen.
So we first find the reason for renunciation. And it says, lust for existence chains all corporeal beings. Addictions to the pleasures of life cycle is only cured by transcendent renunciation. So seek transcendence. First of all, here this is the reason for renunciation. And then it says leisure and opportunity are the Rinpoche, the Jutsen Lamsam Kabiyare.
Jutsen Tere, Jutsen Di Naji Duba Dang, and then Shimi Naji Duba Ni Tu Marbe.
So let me just go back and correct this. So we first have the reason for renunciation. Lust for existence chains all corporeal beings. Addiction to the pleasures of life cycle is only cured by transcendent renunciation. So seek transcendence first of all. So this is the reason for renunciation. And then it says leisure and opportunity are hard to get. So the next category refers to the method for achieving renunciation or the desire to definitely emerge. And that's broken down into two categories. How to turn off the desire for the things of this life, and then next, how to turn off the desire for the things of future lives. So then we have that presented here. And there is no time to life. Keep thinking on this and you will turn off your interest in this life. So this is the method for turning off interest in the things of this life. Leisure and opportunity are hard to get, and there is no time to life. Keep thinking on this, and you will turn off your interest in this life. Then the next category is how to turn off interest in next lives. It says, contemplate the inexorability of evolutionary effects and the sufferings of life over and over again, and you will turn off the interest in future lives. Okay, Jutsin Sar, then it's say. So then the last category is the measure of renunciation, or the measure of the desire to definitely emerge. And it says, by constant meditation, you will not entertain a moment's wish even for the successes of life, and you will aim for freedom all day and night. Then you experience transcendent renunciation. So this is the measure of renunciation, or measure of the determination to be free. So we find it presented here. I left something out from before, I believe. And in the Lamrim Chemo, we find the categories of the mental training, the measure of the attitude, and then dispelling misconceptions. So those are the three categories that relate to it in the Lamrim Chemo. And then these three categories are specifically relating to the three principal paths, how we find the reason for renunciation, the method for achieving it, and then the measure. So I didn't want to confuse those two outlines. Then it reads, grant that these pure thoughts, so we're going back to the source of all my good, grant that these pure thoughts may lead me to be watchful and to recall what I should be doing, and grant to me to give the greatest care to make the vows of morality the essence of my practice. They are the root of Buddhist teaching. So here, these pure thoughts are referring to renunciation, the desire to emerge. So from renunciation, we give the greatest care for the vows of morality. So here, this is speaking of the individual liberation vows, vows of morality. There are three householder individual liberation vows and five ordained individual liberation vows. So there is a one-day vow, 24-hour vow, and then there is a householder vow for the man and the woman, male and female. So these are the three householder individual liberation vows. And then there are five individual liberation vows that are for the ordained. There is a novice monk vow, novice nun vow, a probationary nun vow, a fully ordained monk vow, and a fully ordained nun's vow. So this makes for a total of eight individual liberation vows. And then we get into the topic also of cessation and the path. Cessation and path.
Raju mai na chemba tsu go ta suda do maswa do gnye pa mi do maswa do nye ne do maswa do ta.
So there are three
chemba tsu do maswa na bas.
There are three householder vows, vows for those who are not ordained, and those are the one day vow, of restraint. I don't know if there's a specific name for that. Is there a name, Rabche, for the one day, the nyene? It's just one day. One day vow. And then householder male and female vows, or lay person's vows, they're called. So there are three for the unordained.
Mm.
Okay.
Let's go.
Where's that? Where's my commentary on this? It's gonna come up.
What the chip is chimed, what the email is that the next has over there?
So we've completed the stage of the past shared in common with beings of medium capacity. Rinpoche said he's going to abbreviate things. So next, I have slipped and fallen into the sea of this suffering life. Bless me to see that every living being, everyone my own mother, has fallen in too. Grant me then to practice the wish for enlightenment, to take on myself the task of freeing them all. Bless me to see clearly that the wish itself is not enough, for if I'm not well trained in the three moralities, I cannot become a Buddha. Grant me then a fierce resolve to master the Bodhisattva vows. Rinpoche said Rinpoche Garshani Charan Shine Dang Hatung. Okay, so above that, in the medium stages of the path, we would find this three highest higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom, and specifically a union of calm abiding and special insight. So Rinpoche mentioned that, and I just didn't know how it connected. That's how. And then we get into this stanza, which gets into the stages of the path for beings of great capacity. And it says, I have slipped and fallen into the sea of this suffering life. I am currently abiding in cyclic existence. That's like an ocean of the cyclic existence is like compared to an ocean. And every being, just like myself, every being that is my mother has this same predicament. So we understand, once we understand our own plight, then we begin to understand the plight of others and then take on the task of bringing them to a state of liberation, bringing them to the Buddha of Sanjesat, the Buddha grounds. So this is what the meaning of this is. And then it says, grant me then to practice the wish for enlightenment, to take on myself the task of freeing them all. And this is referring to the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. So this mind that wishes to free them all, to take them to liberation, to take them to the Buddha grounds. And we achieve this mind, or we achieve bodhicitta with two practices. The seven-point cause and effect for realizing the mind that aspires to enlightenment, and then the equalizing and exchanging self with others practice. So we get to a few very important points that are made here. So I have slipped and fallen into the sea of this suffering life, just as I am in the ocean of cyclic existence and have the various types of suffering, such as the suffering of suffering, the suffering of change, pervasive compounded suffering. I have the suffering of birth, aging, sickness, and death. Just as I have these circumstances, all sentient beings who have been my mother, all mother sentient beings, have these circumstances as well. They have this similar experiences. And when we look at them and we see the same predicament or the same plight, then we're moved to wish to do something. So and the topic that becomes of utmost importance here is that everyone my own mother. So how do we arrive at that idea that all sentient beings are our mother? And we find the need to establish the previous lives. And when we look at the fact that we ourselves have a beginningless birth, and likewise, all sentient beings have beginningless birth. Therefore, all sentient beings have been our mothers at some point in time or another. So when we establish this, we say that just like our previous mothers were the same as this life's mother in that they were our mother. It just was before, it happened before, or they were previously our mothers, but they were still our mothers because of this, they were previously our mothers in a previous lifetime. So once we establish this beginningless birth of ourselves and others, then we can establish that they have been our mothers, and we can establish that they are our mothers because we have forgotten that them as our mothers because they were our previous mothers, our mothers before. We find many points that establish this in the Pramanivartika Karika, the commentary on the compendium of valid cognition, to establish this beginningless lives.
Sheba.
Establish that we have beginningless births and sentient beings have beginningless births by using the signs that are put forth in the Pramanivartika Karika, Dharmakirti's commentary on the Compendium of Valid Cognition, where it shows that there is a breather breathing in and out, which came from this previous breathing in and out. So this establishes one proof that there is a breather breathing in and out. So the breath becomes the first proof. The second proof is the consciousness, that there is consciousness that came from this previous consciousness, and sense powers that came from this previous sense power. So by looking at these things that we possess, we're possessors of, the breath, the sense powers, the consciousness, and looking at their continuum, then we can also determine our beginningless continuum of births, which then can determine that we have, all sentient beings have been our mother. So we establish this previous lives by way of these reasons and signs and reasons we put forth, and then by establishing these previous lives, these beginningless lives, we can establish them as our mothers. So if we can understand these three reasons that establish beginningless lives or previous lives, then we can establish that sentient beings are our mothers. So in the great treatise on the stage of the path to enlightenment, we find a statement that compassion is the root, so compassion is the root. So in the seven-point cause and effect for realizing the mind that aspires to enlightenment, we find that these are there are causes for compassion, great compassion, and then there are the results of great compassion. So there are four causes for great compassion, which are all sentient beings have been our mother, remembering their kindness, wishing to repay their kindness and love through the force of attraction. And then we have great compassion. And then great compassion gives rise to the extraordinary attitude and then the bodhicitta, the mind that aspires to enlightenment.
Padu
So the compassion being the root, what is the reason why compassion is the root? In Chandrakirti's commentary, what is it called? The commentary on the root wisdom text, the Madhyamika Avatara, we find that he first pays homage to great compassion in the beginning of the text. I'm not going to be able to give the exact quote. Maybe Rabje could help me with it. I can do it a little bit better. And I don't have it memorized, so I won't be able to just translate Madhyamika. Entrance to the Middle Way is the name. But we find that he pays homage to great compassion in the beginning. And why is this? And it's stated that this is because compassion is important in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. In the resultant, it has importance as a result in the middle and in the beginning. This is... why do I have 4-2? So it's for this reason that we say that compassion is the root. You help me with the Madhyamaka quote, or do you?
Good. You have already translated the root. So.
Right. Okay. Dixon.
Anna. What that junior manga do you go to send you? Junior manga do you there? That number machine marve.
So the 7-point cause and effect, we find that there, when we're relating it to great compassion, that there are 4 causes for great compassion and 2 results from great compassion. So they're listed as follows. Recognizing all sentient beings as our mother, or remembering all sentient beings as our mother, remembering their kindness, wishing to repay their kindness, love through the force of attraction, then we have great compassion. And so those are the causes up to it. And then the effects of it are an extraordinary attitude, and then the mind that aspires to enlightenment, or bodhicitta. So those are the 7 in the 7-point cause and effect.
So if
we don't really haven't really established the previous lives by way of reason, then this idea that all sentient beings are our mother is difficult to realize. So we have to meditate. In order to meditate on this, we have to establish these previous lives first. So the second is remembering their kindness. So we can see the next topic, remembering the kindness of our mothers. So we see in the animal world, even the kindness of mothers, where a tiger or a lion or a tiger kills everything, wants to kill all things, but we see that they're very kind to their young, giving it milk and caring and so forth. So we're establishing and remembering the kindness that our mothers have shown us. So that's an example. So we remember the kindness of our mothers in the beginning of our lives, in the middle of our lives, and later in our lives. It's when we were first being taken care of, we're in the stomach of our mothers. So we're being cared for in her stomach. And then after we're born, we're like a bug almost, like we're incapable of caring for ourselves. Our mother has to give us milk and so forth to care for us. And then later on, we need our mothers, for instance, for going to school and sending us for education and so forth. So we see the kindness our mothers have shown us. So then the next is wishing to repay their kindness. And then when we wish to, we remember their kindness and then wish to repay, we begin to think about what sentient beings want. All sentient beings want happiness and the causes of happiness and to be free from suffering. Dugyo Mepa Tsalo? So the wishing all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness is beginning to gaze with love, gazing with love. So this is we're going repaying their kindness, and how do we repay their kindness? They could have happiness and the causes of happiness. So that's love. May it be free from suffering, and the causes of suffering becomes compassion. So we went from from wishing to repay their kindness to the love of the force of attraction. So love, the force of attraction, may all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. The next step is great compassion. Here it's may all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. So the next is called the extraordinary attitude. It's where I say, I will take it upon myself the task of bringing all sentient beings to a place of happiness and the cause of happiness, free from suffering and the causes of suffering. And then I realize that I don't have the ability to do so. And who does? A Buddha has the ability. May I become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. And then the extraordinary attitude is where you're saying, I'll take it upon myself, this task, but then you realize you don't have the ability, and then the next step, which is number 7, bodhicitta, is where that idea takes place. May I become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. And in our prayer book, we have the prayer that says, I take refuge until I am enlightened in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha through the merit I create by practicing giving and the other perfections. May I become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings. That is what we're speaking of when we're talking about bodhicitta, that idea of wanting to become a Buddha for the sake of all sentient beings who have been our mothers. So if you can learn these 7 very well and then do go over them every single day, it would be very
good.
So then your mind is able to expand, increase in kocha, in understanding, increase its understanding.
So,
and then you're also accumulating a large amount of merit. So even though we aren't bodhisattvas, we can practice in like a way of facsimile or in the same way so that we can achieve these qualities. So the next is the equalizing and exchanging self with others practice. And in this practice, we find the benefits of having a mind that cherishes others and the downfalls of a self-cherishing mind. So in the Shantideva's guide the guide to the Bodhisattva's way of life, we find this sentiment where it states that ordinary beings have a self-cherishing attitude. The Buddhas and Bodhisattvas cherish others. Look at the difference. Is that the
In order to do so, you have to put effort. You have to put effort. It's not you can think automatically by yourself. You have to put effort to think
about
to equalize to exchange self to others. You have to put effort to think.
Okay.
To equalize.
And exchange self with others. And that is the downfalls of a self-cherishing attitude and the positive qualities of cherishing others. Diksa. Nene de lung de shunju de gola
kabir.
So we find these points made in the Guru Puja where it exuding banishment of the self-cherishing attitude, wishing to get rid of the negative, seeing the negative qualities of the self-cherishing attitude. And then in the 7-point mind training by Geshe Chikawa, we find a statement that says, banish the one to blame for everything. Meditate on the great kindness of all. So here this is speaking of the self-cherishing attitude. Banish the one to blame for everything. So maybe that's enough. 2 chin or 2 chin. So we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. I need this. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozan Drapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well, with whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all the conquerors who traverse the three times. I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness. All-powerful Avalokiteshvara Tenzin Gyatso, may you stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Khensur Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rinpoche Gutsu Shapi Denraman. Zulam Rinchemo Kanga Trion.